This is 89.1 WEMU, a good Thursday to you. I'm David Fair in the Timko Broadcast Center at Halley Library on the Eastern Michigan University campus. This is where we now get together with Nick Alderink each week to talk all things movies. Nick is working with Marquee Arts, running the Michigan and State Theaters in Ann Arbor, and joins us each week with all the movie news you need to know. Good to see you, Nick.
Good to see you, David. Thanks for having me here.
Now, as much as we love talking about all of the great films that are coming our way, and we will, there is oftentimes we have to talk about things a bit on the more maudlin side, and that is the passing of some of the greats. And we lost two of them recently.
Yeah, we lost Robert Duvall, who passed away at the age of 95, and Frederick Wiseman, who passed at the age of 96.
I think one is common knowledge. Yeah. Robert Duvall. Mm-hmm. Everybody who watches movies knows Robert Duvall. Not everybody may know Frederick Wiseman.
No. And Robert Duvall, he was an actor that he was so well known and so popular. And you think that he must have led so many great films, but that's really not the case. He was a supporting actor in most of his roles.
Yeah, a character actor. Yeah, and one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you think of Apocalypse Now, and maybe in your memory that he's in it a lot more than he actually is, but he comes in, he says the famous line, "I love the smell of napalm in the morning," and that's really it for his movie. But he has one of the most iconic lines of that whole film.
Oh, yeah, and his appearance on the beaches in that movie will stand out as not only a highlight of that film, but in the genre of movies altogether.
That's right. And of course, you have to talk about The Godfather and The Godfather Part II, his role as Tom Hagen. He first appeared, I think one of his first popular film performances is as Boo Radley in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Didn't even say a word.
That's right. And then Lonesome Dove, that series that he did there as well.
And I think he said that was his personal favorite, Lonesome Dove.
That seems like that'd be the case. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it is very sad. But I'm glad that we have these movies to revisit.
Absolutely.
In the years to come, for sure.
Yeah. And Frederick Wiseman, he was a very important documentarian. He pioneered the what's called direct cinema, and that is a form of documentary that loses the narration aspect that you get in most documentaries and really lets the subjects reveal themselves rather than him putting his personal touch.
And perhaps
on those
more
films
than anyone else, he would take the time to allow them to reveal themselves in that way.
Yeah.
Sometimes
mm-hmm.
Some of his documentaries up to 6 hours long.
That's right. Yeah. And, one of his most famous works is Titty Cut Follies, which is about a Massachusetts state prison hospital for the criminally insane. It was banned for decades. It was controversial, but really holds up for what he was revealing there. And he was working all the way up until
2023.
Yeah.
He was 96 at his passing.
Yeah. That's right. So he has a lot of work that's going to live on, and he'll live through those. And he will be missed.
Well, I'm glad we have their works on film to mm-hmm. enjoy in the years to come. Well, in modern day times, meaning this week, there are plenty of movies to open and enjoy, and that includes the return of one of the popular features that's presented at the Michigan Theater each year.
Yes, the 2026 Oscar-nominated short films will be opening tomorrow at the Michigan. For the 21st consecutive year, we'll present these shorts, offering all three categories, animated, live action, and documentary. So this is your annual chance to predict the winners and have the edge in your Oscar pool.
Do you play in a pool?
I usually, for fun. I usually don't put any money down, but
well, that would be illegal, of course.
Yeah. But it's fun to participate.
Yeah. Well, what is opening at the State Theater this week?
So we have Kokuo, which is opening tomorrow at the State. This is set in Nagasaki in 1964. Following the death of his Yakuza father, 15-year-old Kikuo is taken under the wing of a famous kabuki actor, and alongside the actor's only son, he decides to dedicate himself to the traditional form of theater, and for decades the two young men grow and evolve together, and one will become the greatest Japanese master of the art of kabuki, and this was selected as the Japanese entry for best international feature film. It made the December shortlist but didn't ultimately make the cut, but it was nominated for best makeup and hairstyling at this year's Academy Awards.
You know, many people may not make the link, but this was one of the films that inspired the group Kiss to put on makeup. There you go.
And then also opening tomorrow at the State, we have Arco. And this was a selection of the Cannes Film Festival and nominated for Best Animated Feature at this year's Academy Awards. It is about a 10-year-old boy named Arco from a peaceful future who accidentally travels back in time to the year 2075, discovering a world in peril. He bands together with a young girl and her robot caretaker as she sets on a quest to return home.
I love the optimism of a story set in 2075.
Yeah. Yeah. And then opening this Friday in multiplexes, we have How to Make a Killing. This is starring Glenn Powell and Margaret Qualley. Disowned at birth by his wealthy family, Beckett Redfellow will stop at nothing to reclaim his inheritance, no matter how many relatives stand in his way.
You know, Glenn Powell seems to have the perfect face for a trust fund baby.
Yeah, I think you're. Yeah, I think you're onto something there. Yeah.
You are listening to Cinema Chat on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm joined by Nick Alderink, and there are some late night classics returning to the major big screen this week.
Yeah, Chungking Express will play tonight at 8 o'clock at the Michigan. This is from writer director Wong Kar Wai, who made In the Mood for Love and Happy Together, amongst many other great films. This one's about two melancholic Hong Kong policemen who fall in love, one with a mysterious female underworld figure, the other with a beautiful and ethereal waitress at a late-night restaurant he frequents.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that film.
Oh, it's a truly wonderful film.
The next one I am most familiar with, and it is one of these quirky, weird movies that these two particular stars seem to find and do quite well in. Yeah. It's called 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah, that'll be tomorrow at 9:30 at the Michigan. This stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Zooey Deschanel. After being dumped by the girl he believes to be his soulmate, hopeless romantic Tom reflects on their relationship to try and figure out where things went wrong and how he can win her back.
And does he? You'll have to find out.
Yeah, that's right.
And some special screenings coming up. Your predecessor, Russ Collins, this is a movie I can guarantee you he will be at.
Oh, absolutely. Paul McCartney, Man on the Run, will be tonight at 7 o'clock at the Michigan. This is a documentary that asks, what happens when you wake up in the morning after leaving the most important rock band of all time? The Beatles, of course. This documentary captures Paul's transformative decade in the wake of the Beatles' breakup.
He seemed to do quite well.
Yeah, I think he did. He did just fine. And through stunning archival footage, Linda McCartney's exceptional photographs and interviews with Mick Jagger, Chrissy Hynde, Sean Ono Lennon, and of course the Living Wings members, and Paul himself, the film examines this time through a uniquely vulnerable lens. And this will be dropping on Amazon in the next week or so. But when you see it in cinemas, you get this bonus conversation with Paul McCartney and director Morgan Neville as well.
That should be fascinating, because as much as we think we know about Paul McCartney and the Beatles and going through that experience, I think we don't know quite a bit.
Yeah, and if there's, of course, you know, it's a boo-hoo Paul McCartney. He's having a hard time figuring out what to do. It's hard to, you know, have that lens.
The billionaire bass player.
Yeah, it's hard. It's easy to have that lens, but they had to have been a very difficult time for
Indeed. And not speaking of Linda McCartney, but Linda.
Yeah, Linda. This is a 2005 film that'll play tonight at 7 o'clock at the State. This is free and open to the public, presented with the U of M Center for Japanese Studies. This is about Japanese teenagers who recruit a Korean exchange student to become the singer of the rock band and must learn to play a song before the school festival.
There is an interactive experience that is going to be offered, and it sounds fascinating.
Yeah, on Sunday at 6:30, we're playing the film Cinema Paradiso with a projectionist presentation. So if you've ever been curious about the world of cinema projection, you can join us for a special presentation with our head projectionist, Erica Gleichman, and we'll be hosting a 30-minute educational talk before a screening of the film Cinema Paradiso.
Now, you still film? You all digital? What's going on over there? What's being projected?
It's a little bit of both now. It's mostly digital, but we try to break out film as much as we can.
I love when that happens.
Yeah. And then on Wednesday, next Wednesday, February 25th at 7 o'clock, we'll be screening Amazing Grace.
Aretha!
This is the Aretha Franklin documentary from 2018, presenting the live recording of Aretha Franklin's album Amazing Grace at the New Temple Missionary Baptist Church in Watts, Los Angeles, in January 1972.
That is a voice that continues to resonate through generations, yeah, and in my estimation, always will.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, the Art House Revival series will continue, and of course, with Black History Month still underway, this is an important film.
Absolutely. We're playing Spike Lee's Malcolm X. This is a film 1992. This will be next Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the Michigan. This was the member-selected film for the month. Of course, the biographical epic of the controversial and influential black nationalist leader, from his early life and career as a small-time gangster to his ministry as a member of the Nation of Islam and his eventual assassination.
Spike Lee seems to be one of those kind of divisive directors. Some people love him, some people hate him. This was universally loved.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, what movies are still playing if I want to go see one I've missed so far?
Yeah, the state, you can still catch Wuthering Heights, which is making a lot of headlines and part of a lot of conversations right now. You can also still catch Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie, Send Help, and at the state, you can still catch a couple more screenings of A Private Life.
More choices than you know what to do with. That's what we do here on Cinema Chat. For Nick Alderink, I'm David Fair, and we both thank you. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, David.
We'll be back and doing it again next Thursday right here from the Timko Broadcast Center and the ground floor of Halley Library on the Eastern Michigan University campus. This is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU, Ypsilanti.